and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your boys Lockdown, and we are here for the, I remembered it, 18th episode of our running. I'm dead serious. This is the 18th episode, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 19.
Son of a... Ah! All right, no worry. No worries. We are here for the... I was so confident.
Did you just say 18th again?
I thought this week was the 18. It was last week. Yeah, last week was 18.
God.
This is annoying.
Sometime right. You'll get it right.
The Josh Beckett episode of the Lockdown Podcast. We are here. And there's a lot to happen this week. A lot of football stuff happened this week. Some NBA. Not so much baseball. But we've got a lot to talk about. I don't know how long we're gonna go on for. So let's get started. Free agency is pretty wild in football right now, right?
Oh yeah.
There's a lot of guys.
Like a lot of defensive guys too. Like I met Matt was telling us before the show that Jamie Collins got cut today, right? Yeah. Or this week.
Jamie Collins got cut this week. Ezekiel Ansah is a free agent too. That's going to be huge. Dude's a sick pass rusher. Clay Matthews? Do you know what he's doing?
I didn't know he was a free agent. Come on. I'm sure he'll re-sign.
Clay's a free agent.
Ouch. That hurts. I did not know that, actually. Mm-hmm. Dang.
And Timmy Jernigan is as well. He's a really, really good D-tackle. I don't know where he's going to go, but he'll be big too.
That's a lot of guys.
There's a lot of safeties in general.
A lot of safeties, yeah.
A lot of safeties.
Landon Collins is a free agent too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Landon Collins, Earl Thomas, Tyrann Mathieu, just to name a few.
So, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of teams that are going to bank on him, but I know the top three right now with cap space, and this is going to go into other conversations that we have in a few minutes, but the Browns have over $80 million in cap space. I know they're about to go headfirst into free agency, and the Jets and Colts both have over $100 million. So that's kind of interesting, you know, as like the offseason basically for the NFL basically starts now with free agency and the draft coming up, and it's going to shape up to be a pretty crazy offseason, I think, in as far as guys moving teams and rosters looking completely different going into the preseason, you know?
That's interesting that those top three teams, because those three teams are like on the rise. Like, I mean, just from this offseason alone, if they do really well, I mean, they could go pretty far in the playoffs even this year. They're all young and up and coming. Who knows? Especially the Colts right now.
The Colts are the dangerous team in that group. The Jets can have a couple years to go.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold has potential, but he's not going to be there yet next year. But yeah, the Colts, if they can make a big splash defensively, like you said, there's a lot of good defensive players in free agency. Man, they already got the offense. Mm-hmm. Like, they shore up that defense, maybe sign a guy like Jared Cook at tight end. Dude, like, that's
even if
dangerous.
They got Le'Veon. If they got Le'Veon and upgraded their defense, watch out.
I personally think Le'Veon's going to go to the Colts or Jets, one of those two teams. But, I mean...
I'm more thinking Jets because they want to get a guy that can take the pressure off of Sam Darnold.
Right.
The Colts already have a great locker room there. They got a really good up-and-coming running back. I don't see them overpaying for Le'Veon Bell. But the Jets are in that situation where they got a lot of young talent, but they need a star offensively. So I can see them just throwing just – what did Isaiah Thomas say? Backing up the what truck, Zach?
Backing up the Brinks truck.
The Brinks truck?
Oh, yeah.
I could see the Jets doing that.
They have no running game anyway. They need a running game, so that makes a lot of sense.
Question. Yeah. Do you guys think that Baker Mayfield's, he's got a big personality. He's a charismatic enigma in Cleveland right now. Do you think that that alone is enough to want guys to come over to Cleveland just to be like, well, that team's like, They just got like this. I hate the word swag. I don't want to use swag, but they've just got this thing about them with
Baker.
They
have swagger about
like
them.
A moxie.
Swagger, sure.
Is.
The full swag.
Swagger in Bellator.
Listen, he's kind of tearing it up over in Bellator.
He's kind of doing pretty well. But anyways, I think the Browns is going to be a fun place to play. I'm still not sold on their coach though. I still think that was not a good idea. I'm gonna be completely honest.
Freddie Kitchens, really?
Freddie Kitchens. I don't know. We'll see how it works out. I'm still not sold on it though. But I don't know. I think he's one of those guys who's very vocal, very charismatic, like you said. He's a fun guy to play with. You hate to play against him. You know, so he's one of those guys that you want as a teammate, you want as your quarterback. You know, I think they'll get some guys in free agency, and I think they'll be pretty good. You know, I don't think they're going to be like a real contender next year or anything like that. But I think the idea behind playing in Cleveland is changing. And part of that is going to be because of Baker Mayfield.
Well, he's brought a winning culture there now. Just in 1 year, turns a zero-win team to a seven-win team.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's a proven winner. He's proven – I mean, he did it in college. He's already done it in his first year. I think that alone can really entice free agents to want to come to Cleveland. Like, they're changing. Everyone's seeing that they're on the rise. So why not go right now when they're about to peak? You know, they're about to just cruise, and a couple of years they're going to be in the playoffs consistently. Baker Mayfield keeps this up.
I think the day that Baker woke up dangerous was the day that everyone's like, all right, this is the team. Mood, bro. Mood.
Dog pound.
Now, I would like to see. Yeah.
Look, sophomore slumps are a thing, especially for guys like
true.
Him. We'll see. We'll see how it goes next year, man. I still think the Browns are going to have a solid season. But I think what it comes down to, it's going to be, can Freddie Kitchens coach more than Baker Mayfield? Mm-hmm. Can Freddie Kitchens coach the defense? Can he coach the other parts of the offense? Can he coach the special teams? Can he be a leader in the locker room? All of these things are huge question marks that nobody knows about Freddie Kitchens.
Right, he hasn't proven it.
And one or two losses, and they have let's say they have a bad training camp. They start the season with two or three losses. That losing culture is back. You know? Mm-hmm. So let's see how it goes. Let's see who they sign. But I think if I'm a free agent, as long as I'm confident in Freddie Kitchens, I think I can go there and pretty confidently.
Yeah, that's fair. Any other free agent thoughts? And I mean, combine too. There's a lot to happen in the NFL.
Yeah, we'll jump into the combine. We'll jump into like literally the most broken man in the history of the combine here in a second. Yeah. Oh my god!
His name.
Holy cow!
It's DK Metcalf.
Ooh.
Got it. Nailed
it. Dude's an animal.
I gotta say though, this dude had a 1.6% body fat. That is not healthy.
Is that even like
okay? At all? No, it's
it
not.
Bad.
When bodybuilders cut weight and get to that like peak performance, they're at like 3-4% body fat. Did you tell 1.6?
How do you even do that?
Not good. You
it
don't
looks like a man on steroids.
And then you take a lot of steroids. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's not his actual like. You know, that's not actually his body. The problem, I actually watched a really good video. There's a guy on YouTube who – there's like a doctor on YouTube who actually breaks down like injuries, makes them like, you know, understandable. He actually talked about DK Metcalf and his body and his body fat percentage and how it's actually a bad thing. And it's really interesting. Basically, because he has so little body fat, he is he's very explosive and is fast, but his fatigue is like at a crazy low. Like he'll play like 15 snaps and then he'll be like dead. Because your body pulls from your body fat when it needs energy. That's where it wants to pull from. And if you don't have any body fat, you got no energy. Also, he's super stiff. I saw him running. He had one of the worst, I think, like three cone
drills. Agility drills?
Yeah, he had really bad agility drills. I mean, maybe he can get better at that. But, you know, I mean, if you're a wide receiver, man, you got to do more than just run a straight line. You know, but honestly, what did he bench? 26.
He had 27 bench reps of 225 pounds.
Good God.
And he ran a 4.33 40, had a 40 and a half inch vertical, and he's 6'3", 228.
He's got all the potential in the world.
Yeah.
Like, get a nutritionist. Whatever team drafts him, get him a nutritionist stat. Like, make him eat correctly.
Yeah.
You know, and get his body into like actual football playing shape, not like into a male model shape, because it's very different. Two very different things.
It's a great point.
I wonder if this is just a result of his training for the combine.
I'm sure it is.
I don't know.
But even like when he was, even like at Ole Miss, though, like his agility still wasn't very good. Like, mm-hmm. all of his big plays was basically just him running in a straight line, outrunning the defensive back. And in the NFL, when they know it's coming, it's kind of hard to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to be able to at least run routes and make cuts to get open.
So, I mean, if he got anything accomplished, he got his name out there, which is good.
Yeah. You know what I mean? There was no real standout receivers in this draft, and I think Metcalf clearly is the number one receiver now just because of his talent, of his potential. You know what I mean?
And, like, and one of the main questions, too, I mean, you look at all those numbers that he had at the combine. It's like, okay, well, yeah, well, can he catch? You know, he's a receiver, but he proved that. I mean, he's got great hands and he's great. He looks like he's got great potential, but he's got to fix the agility drills and stay healthy. You know, he hasn't really been all that healthy in college.
Yeah. And bad neck injury. That's because the body fat, man.
Yeah.
You got to stay healthy when you have no fat.
Yeah. He seems like a good kid, and hopefully he has a good career. Hopefully he can stay healthy.
Yeah. I think the two big things for him is going to be health and then his ability to run routes.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to go to a team with some veteran wide receivers, with some good wide receiver coaches. I think in the right position in 1 or 2 years, he could really, really break out.
Oh, yeah.
But if he gets in a position that Breshad Perriman was in, like with Baltimore, where they didn't have anybody to really train him at all, and he sat there for 2 years and didn't do anything, then, you know, it may not be a good situation. But I think if the right team drafts him, I think he'll be good.
Yeah. Anyone else stick out to you at the combine?
Nick Bosa did, man.
Oh, yeah.
Everything that I thought in terms of his agility, in terms of his strength, he pretty much proved everything to me. I love Nick Bosa. I don't think so there's been a lot of talks about that I actually might be correct that the Cardinals are indeed going to pick Kyler Murray with the number one pick. Some people think you should take Nick Bosa one. I think he's like the safest pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I think unless he gets some horrible injury, he's going to be like a multiple time Pro Bowler. Like he's just going to be that.
Yeah.
Like that's just how good he's going to be. So I think it's easy to be like, just pick the guy you know is going to be good. But man, Kyler Murray's going to going to Arizona, which is cool.
He was so smart to not perform at the combine, in my opinion. Because, I mean, he bulked up his weight so that they measured him. So it's like, okay, he's big enough. You know, he's like, what was that, 5'10", 207, I think they weighed him at. But truthfully, he's not that big.
He's not that big.
Like, that weight alone and that measurement probably would have affected his performance at the combine.
That's very true.
So that's why I think he didn't work out. And now he's just going to do everything at his pro day. He's going to get right back into shape like he normally is, and he's just going to kill it.
Yeah.
Most likely. But, I mean, overall, I think he was really smart of him. All he had to do was just, you know, sit in on interviews, just, you know, be with the quarterbacks on the field. He was still there.
Just be the number one pick in the draft, basically.
He already knows. I mean, he basically won the combine by not doing anything.
Yeah, it's very true. And can we just talk about how Cliff Kingsbury is finally an NFL head coach? And he's already like spreading rumors about who he's going to take with the number one overall pick to the media.
He's spreading rumors now?
Yes. Like, there's been reports that Cliff Kingsbury is telling people close to him and media members that there is no doubt he's taking Kyler Murray with the number one pick. And I'm like, my guy, you failed at Texas Tech. What a good look this is. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
I'm still not sold on him as a coach, but we'll see. I like the combination of him and Kyler together with like an air raid style offense.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. So we'll see how that goes. But other than Kyler and Nick Bosa, I have no idea who's going to get drafted where. I think it's a pretty clear 1 and 2 with Murray and Bosa. And then it's just like, I don't know. Maybe somebody likes Drew Lock a lot. Maybe somebody wants to take DK Metcalf pretty high. I don't know.
Mm. It's all up in the air this year.
Yeah.
I was impressed with the tight ends at the combine. I mean, they're fast. Like, all those tight ends. Noah Fant from Iowa ran a 4.5.
Yeah.
And he's like 6'4", 250.
I remember, yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he's going to be good, man. And both Iowa tight ends are good. The other guy is TJ Hawkinson. I mean, they were all a really good class of tight ends. The defense didn't surprise me how well they were performing. Quinnen Williams especially.
Yeah.
4.87. He's quick, man. And then there's a defensive end from Mississippi State who ran like a 4.4. I mean, that just...
It was a 4.41. Oh, what was that guy named? Sweat.
Montez Sweat. Yeah.
Yeah, Montez Sweat. Yeah. He's good. I watched him a lot in college.
Really, really impressive defensive class that's coming up.
Yeah, it really is. There's going to be a lot of great players in this class. Oh, yeah. Quinnen Williams, name you mentioned. Dude's got crazy potential.
He's great. I think
there's been some scouts saying that he actually, some teams view him as the number one defensive prospect in the draft.
Probably got number three,
I think. Over Bosa. Yeah, so I think he might go three.
I think that's fair.
Who's drafting? Do you guys know off the top of your head? See, Jets, I don't know. Depending on if they get Le'Veon Bell or not, they might go skill position player.
I've heard the Jets are open to trading back, though.
That might make sense, actually.
Mm-hmm. Getting from the San Fran. Or are they trying to go number one? Well, no,
they're trading back.
Yeah, back to get assets. Yeah.
I don't know why they would trade up. Yeah.
They need a bunch of stuff. So that would make sense for them. Maybe to get like a big star like Le'Veon in free agency. This class is so deep too.
I mean,
yeah, I think
trade get more picks.
Yep, get more picks, get like a couple first and seconds. That makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, if they traded back with Oakland or something, I don't know why. Maybe Oakland wants to get somebody, but they could get 2 first round picks.
What spot is Oakland in?
Oakland's 5, I think. So they wanted to jump up 2 spots and be like, hey, I want this guy. I don't know.
Listen, the only way Oakland jumps up in the draft.
They're 4.
Oakland's 4.
Oh, they are? Oh.
Tampa's 5, New York 6. Or
Tampa's
Giants
5, okay.
The only way Oakland jumps up is if they give every asset in the world to Arizona and get Kyler Murray.
I don't know why they would.
That's the only reason why they would. Because John Gruden is infatuated with that man.
Derek Carr's a lot better than people think. I don't know.
Yeah, but I think the franchise is really down on Derek Carr right now.
Yeah.
You know, I think his pocket presence is actually a really big issue. Mm-hmm. We've seen with guys like Ryan Tannehill, Cam Newton, they can be great, they can be good, but you can't learn pocket presence. That's something that you just have as a quarterback.
It's a natural ability,
skill. Yeah. Kyler Murray has it. He has crazy tape of him, like the guy coming from behind him, and he is like ducks out of the way. Like he can sense guys. It's nuts. Derek Carr doesn't have that at all. He'll just stand flat footed in the pocket for like 6 seconds and then just get destroyed. Yeah. So again, he's got a lot of talent, but again, one of the most important things as a quarterback is your awareness and your pocket presence. And Derek Carr doesn't have it. So I understand why John Gruden might want to move away. But we'll see.
Something interesting I saw, Mel Kiper dropped his new mock draft a couple days ago. And nothing changed with the Giants pick, which is 6. So he put Dwayne Haskins going to the Giants. My only question with this, I think it's a great pick. I think it'd be a good matchup for New York.
Yeah.
But the Giants offensive line doesn't give justice to any quarterback that sits in. So it does that. I mean, should the Giants... I mean, Dwayne Haskins is a great quarterback. He really, I still love Stephen A's, you know, roast on him. What did he even say that he like?
He said that he can't throw the football, even though he had over 4,500 passing yards. I was like, Stephen A, I'm gonna murder you.
Stephen A's been on a tear recently, man. He's been killing it. Because I like Dwayne Haskins, and I think Eli is very close to either retiring or I don't think they'd ever trade him, but the era of Eli is coming to a close pretty soon. And I think the Giants know that, but does their offensive line scare you a little bit for quarterbacks like this, that he can be mobile? I mean, more so than Eli, obviously, but that offensive line, dude, like, I don't know.
Yeah. Dwayne's a pocket passer. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's more of that Jameis Winston type guy where he wants to sit in the pocket.
Yep.
He can run. He has athleticism, but he doesn't really use it all that much. This is really scary to me if they don't do much to their offensive line and then draft Dwayne Haskins, because I can very easily envision this scenario playing out where Eli Manning has a rough start to the year. He's getting sacked a lot. They pull him, put in Dwayne Haskins, and all of a sudden he doesn't save the team because he has no time in the pocket to throw the football, and he's a rookie.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like you're expecting way too much out of a rookie who has no time to throw the football. And then I think that can create problems when you have a rookie who has no time in the pocket, because then for the rest of his career, he's going to be antsy and jumpy, and it's going to be hard for him to get over that hump of being able to trust an offensive line. So, again, they need to shore up that offensive line more than anything else.
And also very interesting, I don't want to segue away from combine or free agency yet, but I do have a note here that the Browns, Raiders, and Niners all have been in contact with Odell Beckham Jr.'s camp. So that's not saying he's leaving yet, but I mean, this has been in talks for most of the offseason.
Oh, for like a trade.
I could already see, you know, Haskins and OBJ could be a great matchup, right, over time. Mm-hmm. But does that freak you out a little bit for the Giants in that what if Odell gets traded and that kind of leaves Eli or Haskins with not a whole lot on the offense as far as wide receivers? I mean, this is just talks with Odell. But
I wouldn't be worried. I would be shocked if OBJ got traded.
That's what I'm saying. I saw the headline. I was like, oh. Mm-hmm.
The Giants have shockingly good position players everywhere on the field.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Sterling Shepard is a really, really talented wide receiver. Everyone knows about Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. If they were able to trade Odell and get off of that horribly huge contract, get like a good offensive lineman and clear cap space to sign another good offensive lineman, I think they could honestly probably be a better team.
True.
You know, than just with having Odell and not having an offensive line, if I'm being completely honest. Because Odell's contract really hampers them from signing a lot of people because he's getting paid like a lot of money. So it hurts in a hard cap sport like that. I don't think they're going to trade Odell Beckham because you just don't do that. You know, even though in the Antonio Brown situation that we're seeing now, the Steelers have literally no leverage at all. Like, what? Okay, they've already said Antonio Brown's not coming back to the Steelers, and the Steelers said, we're trying to trade Antonio Brown. So why would I give you a first-round pick for him? I'll give you a third-round pick, and then it's like, all right, out of Oakland. We'll give you a third-round pick.
What about they're making Sanford? Their own deadline.
Exactly. So, yeah.
I mean, I understand that they – on March 17th, he gets a bonus, like $2.5 million or something like that.
Right.
And so they're trying to make a deadline, like, okay, we're going to get him done. We're going to get the trade done by Friday. Which I guess makes sense, but you're rushing it and not making sure that you get a good trade. You get the best assets that you can get.
Yeah, this is kind of like the anti-Anthony Davis situation that the NBA, that the Pelicans had, where they were like trying to do like baiting and switching and trying to see what they could get in offers. They're just like, they had all the leverage, and it's the other way around now. It's like, you got to make a deal before March 17th. Does a team even give you a first-round pick? Like, Antonio Brown's not coming back.
At this point?
Like, yeah, Antonio Brown's not coming back. Yeah. So does he just sit in your cap space and he's like, I'm not playing, and then take your cap? You know what I mean? So, like, they really hamstrung. They're in a tough situation, but they got to try to get off of Antonio Brown. And if none of the other teams want to play ball, then they'll be in trouble.
Which, good segue. So we can get into this because I don't so this is, there's a lot to this conversation. So as far as if we're looking at the betting odds for where the most likely teams that Antonio Brown could land, we're looking at the Raiders, and this is in order, the Raiders, the Titans, the Cardinals were three, but the Cardinals and Jets both backed out. So the Packers were placed at three, and then all tied for a fourth would be the Niners, Colts, and Browns. So we have those, what is that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams. What are we thinking for Antonio Brown? The three things I do want to go over with this are, we've kind of gone over the where's he going conversation before, but as far as the best matchup and what would hold him back from joining a favorite like Oakland or like Tennessee or Green Bay, let's dive into this Antonio Brown conversation, because there is we're expecting a deal to be dropped, or Adam Schefter came out and said we're expecting a deal to be dropped tomorrow, which is Friday, March 8th. So what are we thinking for Antonio?
I really like the Titans. I hadn't thought about that, but they're in a situation with Marcus Mariota where they already have Corey Davis, and they need to surround him with as many weapons as they can. And I love Antonio Brown and Corey Davis on the sides. I think that's a nasty wide receiver setup.
Yeah, that sounds good.
They're not going to have an incredible first round pick because, you know, they almost made the playoffs. So it's going to be pretty further back, you know? So yeah, I mean, if they're willing to give up a first-round pick, again, I'm assuming the team that gets it Antonio Brown is going to be the team that is like, we'll give you a first round pick. And the Steelers will be like, immediately, let's do it. Because I can't imagine many teams are going to be doing that when they've lost literally all their leverage. So I think whatever team is basically willing to give up a first round pick is a team that'll get Antonio Brown, honestly. So yeah, I think the Titans should do it. Obviously, they could use the help on like the offensive line. They could use help on defense, but they got a good, they got some good young players on defense. So maybe they can take a risk, trade that first round pick away, and you know, get Marcus Mariota an actual like significant, some significant offensive pieces.
Yeah, to piggyback off of your first round pick, you know, I think the Raiders make sense in this. They have three first round picks. They gave, they got a first round pick for Amari Cooper. So essentially they could trade that away, and it's almost like swapping Amari Cooper for Antonio Brown. Which, I mean, it's not that bad.
Yeah, take everything into account real quick. Spitfire question. Take everything into account, the locker room antics, their skill on the field, their ability to produce. Who do you think is a better guy to have on your, if you're building a football team, who would you rather have?
Oh, Amari Cooper, 100%.
Yeah, I think we're on it. I think, yeah.
Talent-wise, Antonio.
Yeah.
I would take Antonio, but character-wise, Amari, 100%.
Amari,
But the Raiders, it's the Raiders.
Right. And they have, and they have three first round picks, like you said.
Yeah. So, I mean, Antonio Brown, his attitude and stuff, he just seems like a Raider.
Yeah, Raider. Yeah. Raider Nation.
A dummy. Raiders.
He's somebody that, like, I could see Antonio walking into the locker room and just being like, nope, this is how we're going to do it. And John Gruden's like, attaboy. And then he's just like, all right.
This butter, is toy, banana. Here we go.
Like, I guess this is what we got now. And he just like tells people what to do. And Gruden's always like got his back no matter what, because it's Antonio Brown. So could probably make some more really funny issues, but I would hate to see Antonio Brown go to the Raiders. I would
you just opened up a whole new book can of worms there, Zach. John Gruden and Antonio Brown in the same locker room. Oh my gosh. I need to see this happen right now.
I know.
I changed my answer. I hope the Oakland Raiders trade over.
I mean, look, we all know how much I would love to see. See, here's the thing. Seeing the Green Bay Packers at three at plus 1,000, I'm like, first of all, I'll put $10 down on that. That sounds awesome. Second of all, I saw, you know, Green Bay is in the betting odds. In Green Bay, after signing our new head coach, LeFleur, they've been super quiet. The whole offseason, they've been super quiet. I kind of like how quiet they've been. I kind of don't like how quiet they've been. Hearing the Antonio Brown talk scares me. One, it could be great. Sure. Aaron Rodgers and Antonio Brown. Oh, my God. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
But putting a brand new head coach with a diva like Antonio Brown, oh no.
And a quarterback, yeah, let's be honest, is
also a diva.
Pretty hard to deal with, yeah.
Yeah, very hard to deal with. So even that's for LeFleur, that's always, I also have no idea how to pronounce his name, so we're just going to call it with LeFleur. I have no idea how LeFleur is going to work with Rodgers. So that's already throwing a lot on his shoulders and he's brought in new coaches. They're trying to change things up in Green Bay because this is supposed to be a winning team with Rodgers. And dude, put it, I hope if this were next year that this would be that these were talks, I'd be a little more happy hearing Antonio Brown could be going to Green Bay. But right now I'm like, that's a lot for a new head coach with two divas on your offense. So
yeah, now that you mentioned that, I don't think that's a good idea.
I'm terrified for Green Bay because who wouldn't? I mean, let's be real here. Like, out of all those 16 teams, who is not trying to go for Antonio Brown? Like, they're all going to try to make a deal, and it's Antonio Brown, but also it's Antonio Brown.
So they're going to hope that the Steelers are stupid and like take some dumb trade. Yeah, here's a fourth round pick.
Like Amari Cooper for what was it, like a third round pick?
Yeah.
Oh my God, Oakland.
So I'm just checking some stuff about Antonio Brown. So there's a problem.
Uh-oh.
There's a problem here, everybody. Antonio Brown has stated that he wants whoever that trades him to guarantee, fully guarantee his contract. He has 3 years, about $60 million left on his contract. So whatever team gets him, regardless of anything, is going to have to just immediately shell out $20 million a year in guaranteed money.
Good God.
Any team that is kind of down in the cap may not take that risk. I don't know what Green Bay's cap situation is.
It's not fantastic.
It's not good.
Yeah, so any team that's having like that's pretty rough in the cap may not do that. I know the Titans overpaid for guys like Deion Lewis and like, you know, they've overpaid for guys in the past. So I don't know that they could still afford them. But I think the Raiders honestly might be the best situation there because the Raiders have just a lot of cap room because they don't have anybody. Like,
right.
So, yeah, the Raiders are starting to make more and more sense, which would just make one of the most dysfunctional organizations in the NFL even more dysfunctional.
Be awesome.
So I'm all for
That'd be amazing.
I'm all for it.
It looked like the Lakers this year, dude. It'd be like single day we hear a new story.
All right, come on, man. Well, you got Antonio Brown sitting on the other side of the field than John Gruden.
Literally walking to the other sideline like, yeah, I don't know what's going on over there, bro. Like going to talk to like Bill Belichick, like I have no idea what's happening, bro. This is wild. This locker room is toxic. Like it's like I don't know. It's gonna be a fantastic season if he goes to the Raiders. Mm-hmm. And they're getting ready to change state cities, so like it just keeps getting better for the Raiders. Oh man,
I have some other NFL news.
Yeah, do it.
Some interesting ones. Nick Foles will be going to Jacksonville reportedly.
Yes.
And then just reported today, Case Keenum got traded to Washington. So this really makes the draft interesting, in my opinion. Because before these acquisitions took place, Jacksonville was thought to maybe get a quarterback in the draft at number 7.
Yeah.
And at 15, Washington may have been looking for a quarterback as well. Now, at this point, what do they do? Do they still... Do they still consider getting a quarterback in the first round? I don't know. I would think Washington would make more sense. But at this point, Jacksonville? I mean, do you really need a quarterback if you have Nick Foles? Maybe they get Metcalf to pair with Nick Foles. Or they, I don't know, maybe they get an offensive lineman. They trade back.
I think they have a solid offensive line. What they should do is they should get one of those tight ends. They should get the number one tight end on the board. Because they need help.
Is that too high, though? What if they trade back?
We'll see. They might have to trade back.
Trade back, get more assets.
You know, we'll see what their evaluation is. You know, they may have the number one tight end on the board going 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I don't know. I think that's a good move for them. I think they definitely need help with that position, and they need some offensive line help as well. But hopefully, Leonard Fournette can get right in the head, because last year the losing really got to him. And he really had some psychological issues. I think the losing and Blake Bortles and all that just got to the team, man. I just think they just didn't want to play with Blake Bortles. I think the defense was just over it. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to have a big comeback season this year. I think they're going to be motivated. They have a veteran leader now in Nick Foles. And I think maybe they use that pick up for a skill position player to add to their talent.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Washington, on the other hand, I don't quite understand this at all. Yeah. If they still probably should draft a quarterback. I mean, maybe go. I maybe still draft a quarterback.
I think Case is more of a backup there than anything. Yeah. I mean, even if they if Drew Lock fell into their laps, does he start?
See, that's the thing.
Or does Daniel Jones fall to their lap and does he start?
Yeah, there's some some people are pretty high on Daniel Jones.
Yeah, so like I'd wonder like are they getting Case to start and mold a young quarterback underneath him, or are they getting him to back up a young guy and help him progress into being a future star? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I get they need another quarterback. They need a veteran. He's a good veteran in their locker room, but I don't know. I'll take it. You know, we got rid of him.
Yeah, I got rid of that contract.
Yeah, we got to get rid of that contract. Now with Joe Flacco, couldn't have two quarterbacks like that with that kind of contract.
Yeah, didn't make sense.
But I think he's going to restructure with Washington because that contract is just really bad.
But why if you're Case Keenum?
Yeah.
You're in Washington, you're not going to win a championship.
That's what
you're
I was
in Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Make your money, dude. Like, so he's about to make a bunch of money with the rest of that deal and then retire. You know what I mean?
He's set.
So, like, yeah, I think they should be like, so we want to talk about restructuring your contract. And he's like, screw you.
Yeah. That's true.
That's pretty much about what I think he should do.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I hope he does well.
I do think the Redskins are still going to get a quarterback, though. I think they should.
It makes a lot of sense still. Whether it's Jacksonville, on the other hand, no.
No, not Jacksonville.
They're good. Nick Foles, St. Nick.
The one thing I wonder about Jacksonville is Blake Bortles, as much as some of the team loved him, they knew he was never the guy. Like, he just was. He had his moments, very, very far and few in between, but he had his moments.
He's going to get cut.
But Nick Foles, he's got some more, you know, clout backing him up. So what do you think that he is enough to, because like the Jaguars, I mean, people were in this time last year, people were picking them to go to the Super Bowl. They were going to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl, and they disappointed heavily. Maybe it's just one of those situations of, you know, they put that expectation on their shoulders, and then they were the little things kept piling up. So you got to wonder, is Nick Foles going to be enough to walk in and kind of be the humility on the team? Like, all right, guys, let's just take it day by day. Let's go out there and do our job. He's already that type of person that just he goes out there and just gets the job done. And he's a leader. He brings his team behind him. But is he going to be enough to, you know, when you put him up, offense and defense, but when you put him up with guys like Jalen Ramsey and that just really powerful defense, are they going to link up well? Is he going to link up with his offense and guys like Leonard Fournette? That this is just, it's a very talkative team. You know what I mean? This is a team that talks a lot. So how does Nick Foles mesh up with that? You know,
I love Nick to this team, man. Mm-hmm. Every team that Nick's been on, he's instantly been seen as a leader in the locker room, instantly been a leader on the field. And now that he's a veteran, he's got experience. He won that Super Bowl in Philly. You know, he has the track record now.
He's earned his respect.
He's earned the respect of everybody now. Yep. And look, Blake Bortles, everybody likes Blake Bortles. He's a nice guy, right? He's a nice guy. But, like, he's, like, still, like, a UCF college frat boy.
Of course.
Like, let's be honest here. Like, Blake Bortles was still that guy. And when the Jaguars were, like, a good young team full of a bunch of 22-year-olds, like, he was the cool quarterback to have on your team. You know, when you're all 25 years old and trying to win a championship now – and you have a 26-year-old quarterback who still wants to be a frat boy in college, you know, it's not a great fit. And I think that's what happened in Jacksonville last year. I think Foles' presence as like a veteran, mature leader, he's going to show up in that locker room. And I think it's just going to be different. You know, I think practices are going to be different. You know, spring training or the spring practices are going to be different. The games are going to be different. Everything about the team is going to be different because of Foles. And I love the move a lot.
I see him matching up really well with Doug Marrone too. Like, I think that'll be that's a really good matchup for the offense as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, again, the only time where Nick Foles has ever had like a bad stretch of his career was when he played with Jeff Fisher, and Jeff Fisher is actually a quarterback killer. Like, that's just confirmed at this point. Like, every single quarterback that man had, he just ruined all of them. And then he was about to ruin Jared Goff, and luckily they got him out of there and brought in Sean McVay, and he saved Jared's career. But, like, you know, other than that stint with Jeff Fisher, Nick Foles has legitimately very good stats. And is like, with Chip Kelly, I think that one year, what did he have, like 23 touchdowns, 2 interceptions?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And he's still in his prime, technically. He's only 30.
Yeah.
Surprising. I thought he was a lot older. I thought he was, like, 34.
Oh, yeah.
He's only 30.
Yeah. So, again, I like Nick a lot. I think they're going to come back and have a good season.
I just want to piggyback off of Matt's Jeff Fisher point really quick. Here's some names: Chris Chandler, Steve McNair, Vince Young, Sam Bradford, Nick Foles. Steve McNair might be the exception out of that list because he stayed pretty consistent, kinda. But those other four, oh Lord, especially Vince Young and Sam Bradford.
Dude, Steve McNair could have been like one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
Got held back.
He had the talent. Mm-hmm. Like, he was the most explosive athlete at that position we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And he was an accurate pocket passer. He had everything you could ask for. He was like Cam Newton back in like 2003.
Yeah.
That's what that man was. And Jeff Fisher went in and was just like, Yeah, sure, bro. Yeah, sure, bro. I want you to just sit in the pocket and just make little dinky dunk throws. That'll be phenomenal.
That's why Vince Young was so terrible in the NFL. Yeah. His Titans run. It's like, yeah. What is this? What's happening right now?
There were times when it's similar to Tebow. There were times when they just kind of let Vince go. And when they let that happen, he would lead like three touchdown drives in the fourth quarter and win a game.
It was awesome.
And it was like, oh my gosh, this man has got so much potential. But then other than like that, those like two moments, everything was very structured by the book. We do this, 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 this. And Vince Young wasn't really that type of quarterback. You know, he ran around in the pocket. He made plays. You know, he got around the defense. You know, he beat quarterback spies. That's what he did. And Jeff Fisher didn't allow him to do that.
Sucks. Yeah. We got any more football thoughts on our brains?
Anything for you, Chris? I think I pretty much said everything.
Free agency begins March 13th. It's when the new league year begins. So it's an exciting time of the year. I know we love it.
Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So before we get into a couple basketball thoughts, something popped up on my notifications recently about Bryce Harper going to Philadelphia. Awesome. Like I think, like we already said, I love the move.
Yeah.
But he, you know, when he was doing his media runs, he basically called out Mike Trout and said, "Let's do this thing. Come to Philly next year when next year is when he enters free agency." The MLB wasn't very happy about that, and they are already looking into tampering, you know, tampering irregulations, and they're going to start an investigation when it happens because they have to go through this baseball season first. So I want to have a conversation about this. It doesn't have to stay with baseball necessarily, but just the whole realm of sports, of where is the line drawn between tampering and fair play? Because my thought with this, you know, with Harper, you know, going over a mic in front of a bunch of Phillies fans and calling out Mike Trout, everybody popped. They're like, oh man, that would be so great to have Mike over in Philly. And they could do it with their cap space or with their luxury tax. And you got to know guys like this, Harper's already called Mike Trout about this. You got to know with LeBron and Anthony Davis, LeBron's already called Anthony Davis about this. He had him on his freaking show for Pete's sake. Like,
yeah.
When we look at this whole conversation of tampering and with all the sports, like where can the line be drawn? Like, what is it about going out in public and saying, let's do this or, you know, dropping little hints that makes the league executives so upset when they already know they're having conversations behind the scenes, you know,
get rid of it.
Yeah.
Who cares? Like how many times has Magic Johnson gotten in trouble with the league for tampering? Like 5 times.
Oh, yeah.
And so what's happened? Actually nothing.
Yeah.
Right? Nah. Like, who cares, man? I don't care. I understand why. It's because small market teams don't want big players congregating into like 3 or 4 different teams. It happens anyways. Like, even without tampering, it's going to happen. Players are going to go to either where they can win a championship or where they can make the most money. So what's going to happen is you're going to have a couple stars, like Giancarlo Stanton in Miami, for instance, who are going to be making a stupid amount of money on a bad team because they want to set their family up for life. Or you're going to have the players who want to win championships, so they go to a team like Boston or New York, and they go to kind of make these like semi-super teams in every sport, really. Sometimes in baseball, they play so many games, it doesn't always work out that way. Mm-hmm. Baseball's a much different sport. But even so, players still, I think, approach it the same way that players in the NBA approach it. I hate it. I don't see much. I don't know why there's so much talk this year specifically about tampering. And every year it's happened in the past and there's been no talk about tampering. Like, in that year with Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, do you know how much crazy tampering there was for Dwayne Wade to get LeBron James to come to Miami? Not anybody cared at all.
They wanted it. Like, everybody wanted it. That's why.
Right. Yeah. So, like, who cares, man? It doesn't matter. I mean, they should go where they want to go. Just let them do it. I don't care.
Mike Trout's from Philly, so it only makes sense that he's going to go to Philly at some point anyway. You know?
It'd be so
but in general, I mean, I think mostly this whole tampering thing is more fun for the fans. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, he's going to go here. Oh, he's going to go there, you know? But, I mean, players probably should try to be a little smarter and maybe keep things private and not say in a press conference, this guy, you know, he's going to come to Philly in 2 years or whatever, you know, like just be smarter. Don't tweet anything like, oh, we want you to come here. Just if you're going to talk to somebody, just text them. Don't make it public. you know. Yeah. But I mean, for us, it's like it's fun. Doesn't bother me. So
yeah,
I feel like that's like kind of like a jerk move on Bryce Harper's part. That's kind of like when like a recruiter like comes in and like to where you're like doing this happened to me all by the way. You're like doing your job and like an Army recruiter walks in. And he's like, "Have you ever thought about joining the Army?" And it's like, "What am I? What do I do? I'm a recruiter at my job. Hello, can you leave, please?"
Yeah,
like the same position where he's like, "Mike Trout, come to Philadelphia," and Mike's just like,
"And then what does he say?"
Dude, he's like taking pop flies in spring training right now, and he's like, "Mike, what do you think?" Like, "I don't know. I've got 2019 to think about."
Yeah,
like,
and then how does Mike Trout handle the situation with the Angels? Now they're gonna look at him like, "Oh, he's gonna go to Philly in 2 years."
Right. It's so dumb.
It's like, what did he even do? It's like all Bryce that's doing this. It's like it's dumb. I don't know.
Look, man, when you pay Bryce Harper, you really get the Harper experience, man. That's what you pay for. And it's already started.
All 13 years.
Day one.
It's already started.
Years. You know, this just reminds me. Do you guys remember? I believe it was Colin Sexton from last year's NBA draft when he got drafted by Cleveland, and LeBron had not left yet, and he in his like draft interview said, "Bron, let's do this thing." And then like 2 weeks later, or like a couple months later, LeBron gets traded, and I looked back at that like, how humiliating must you that LeBron must that
left.
Moment
LeBron
of
LeBron has left.
He just signed the free agent.
It was 2 weeks later. It was like 2 or 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
As soon as like the moratorium period started in basketball.
I'm not playing with Colin Sexton.
LeBron was like, "Yeah, I'm going to LA." And Colin was just like, whoops.
That was so funny. Just like, "Let's do this, Bron." And he looked, like opens up his phone 2 weeks later, like this big money, big rookie contract. Oh crap. I guess it's just me and Kevin Love. Oh, Kevin's out with injury. Cool. All right. JR? No. All right. Cool. All
right. And then he walked into the Cleveland facility and said that he was the best player on the team. Rookie practices. And I was like, "Colin Sexton, you are a human being. Like, like you are indeed a person." He's something else, man. I hope he becomes like a better player. And he's something else, man. He's got confidence. Give him that much.
Oh my gosh.
Pretty confident young man.
That team's been like non-existent all year though. Like I haven't even heard anything about them all year.
They're just playing a bunch of young guys.
Yeah. Is J.R. Smith a thing?
No, he's at home. That was one of my issues with the situation was that they were allowed to just send J.R. Smith home, but the Pelicans weren't allowed to just send Anthony Davis home. And it was like, well, what do you mean?
That bothers me too.
Yeah, I was kind of annoyed.
Treat everybody the same.
Yeah, exactly. That was my annoying.
So, guys, you have no idea how hard I wanted to avoid this topic. I'm just going to say it because it happened last night, and I feel like we should acknowledge how cool it was. LeBron passed Michael Jordan in all-time scoring. I think that's really cool. And, yeah, like,
very cool.
However, I want to read something that made me laugh out loud when I woke up the next morning. Stephen A. came out and said, I'm going to read it how I believe he said it, because I think it was an interview. He says, "This does not make him better than MJ, but LeBron is unquestionably one of the greatest ever, who belongs on basketball's Mount Rushmore. He deserves mad respect and a heartfelt congratulations for this accomplishment. Not questions or ridicule, not today. Even though I started off this quote with, this does not make him better than Michael Jordan. Congrats, Stephen A., on trying your best to not look like a total douchebag from a quote like that."
Gosh, dang it. I mean, look, man, that's a good point. I mean, I don't know. He's a great player. One of the best of all time.
Sure. I think LeBron thinks that he's not even the GOAT, to be honest. I think he still thinks MJ is the best player of all time. He still looks up to him.
Oh, did you not see his was it from his show?
Well,
or it was from what was it?
He was doing like the barbershop episode. Like it was like filmed in a barbershop, and it was like him and a couple other guys a while ago. It was like, I think it was like the beginning of the year.
He came out and said,
well, his exact quote was, "When I was on the court holding the championship in the MVP trophy, I felt like the best player of all time." That was the quote.
I believe he's the best player of this generation.
That doesn't mean that after careful consideration and him, you know, thinking about it, that he believes he's the best player of all time. That just means, and I agree with him, that was the greatest achievement in the history of the NBA.
Agreed.
Okay, Michael Jordan, I don't care. The Warriors get four championships in a row. Doesn't matter. Him winning that championship in Cleveland was the greatest achievement anyone has ever accomplished in the sport of basketball.
Agreed.
So I understand. I understand the quote. If he did mean he's the best of all time, I mean, he's got confidence. I can't fault that. You know what I mean? I think Kevin Durant said that a while back. He said that he's going to be the best of all time or something along those lines. So it's like, I can't fault guys for having confidence in yourself. Like,
yeah. But from last night's comments that LeBron made regarding the passing, when LeBron passed MJ last night, he was like looking, you know, he looked up to MJ as a young kid, really, you know, cool. It's like, this was my idol, you know, I couldn't have imagined myself being in the same conversation as him, let alone pass him on the all-time scoring list, you know? So yeah. I still think to this day, MJ's still at that level where, you know, he's on par with MJ, but I still think he looks up to him like he's the best of all time still, even though LeBron is the best of this generation.
Yes.
So like, yeah, so that was a great point. That was really cool. Like that when he said that got to me a little bit. I was like, okay, that's really cool. Like, I hate on LeBron a lot, but that's a really cool moment. So, and I watched the game. I was, to be honest, I was watching specifically for that moment, and
it's
I was
a good result of the game.
Yeah, probably. And actually, I want to talk about that really quick, because the rest of the game goes on. And listen, listeners of the Lockdown Podcast, we're not going into the GOAT conversation today. We're not going to talk about the Lakers anymore because we do it like every single week. I mean, we're going to talk about them when they don't make the playoffs. But I noticed something last night.
I called it.
You did call it. And I noticed something last night. That was a big moment, right? When Drew Brees broke the touchdown record, oh my gosh, it was like everybody felt something, right? When I can't think of any more examples off the top of my head, but like people like that, like everyone, it just hits everybody, you know, like let's stop everything. Let's celebrate this moment. I don't know if you guys noticed, and I feel like the post game proves this point, not a whole, and that's in the arena last night, not a whole lot of people cared when he passed Michael Jordan. And
why would they? Why would anybody in LA care about LeBron James? No, honestly, what has he done for that team?
Exactly, exactly.
Like, if he was in Miami, do you imagine what would have happened in Miami if he
tore
down
AA Arena?
Oh my gosh, people would have been going nuts for him. But no, seriously, I think honestly, I heard a quote, and it's really funny, that LeBron's run in LA so far has elevated Kobe's legacy. Because, like, you know, LeBron shows up and immediately they miss the playoffs. And it's like, that's not a good look. So, like, yeah, it's great and everything. But at the end of the day, people, I think, are getting worried that LeBron's just there to go Hollywood. He's just there to make Space Jam 2. He's just there to make his new show on HBO, The Shop, featuring Anthony Davis and Antonio Brown or whatever. Like, I think that's a major worry that people have in LA. So I think that's why I think he got booed when he came out at the beginning of the game. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why. I think fans and a lot of people in LA are legitimately believe he just went there because he wanted to be famous.
Well, and then you saw towards the end of the game, like, Rondo's sitting with the fans. And I know, like, he didn't make that big of a deal. He was like, whatever, I'm just like trying to be like, you know, and
eight or ten times already this year.
Yeah, he says he's done it before this year.
Yeah, but still, like, that just goes to prove the point. Like, that was a big night for LeBron and supposedly for the team last night. They still took the L. They still showed a lot of dysfunction on the court and in the locker room. It's still going out in the locker room.
Yeah.
I hate how much of a broken record we are on this conversation, but I think it comes out in my joy on the conversation. I think that's the problem here.
You love talking about it.
I try so hard not to. And, you know, I'm done talking after this. But it just, I mean, at the end of that game, today I'm done talking about it after this. But it just, that really, because for a guy like Rondo, that's a guy, I mean, he wants to go out there and win. And a guy, like a lot of those guys in that team, and now I saw a couple minutes ago that LeBron's on minute restrictions for the rest of the season. They're not putting a cap on it.
28 to 32 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, so they are. So 28 to 30 minutes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's just interesting. It's an interesting conversation going throughout the season that
Paul Pierce said a week back that they should bench LeBron James for the rest of the year.
Well, speaking of that, now I heard that they're actually going to be monitoring his health more, like with the minutes restrictions, and he might be doing what Anthony Davis is doing, sitting out every other game. So he's actually going to get a lot more rest this year because, let's face it, they're not making the playoffs.
Yeah.
Injury.
No. There's no point of him playing hard the rest of the year.
And I saw a thing. So they're like five and a half games out of making the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Look at the bottom of the division. They're three games away from having a, I believe it's a 44% chance of getting a top four pick.
Oh, no.
Because of the lottery odds.
Wow.
They're three losses back. They, if they get under the Washington Wizards, I believe it is, three games back, they have just under 50% chance to get Cam Reddish or Ja Morant or any of those guys.
They're tanking for Zion.
Nuts.
You gotta start tanking, bro.
They should start tanking right now.
Bench LeBron. Imagine Zion and LeBron.
That'd be, yeah. But I wouldn't bring Lonzo back this year unless he really is 100% healthy. I would just let him rehab and get fully healthy. Kuzma's hurt now. He's getting an MRI. It's a mess. The only healthy player on the entire team is Brandon Ingram, and he's actually playing really good basketball. Like, I'm shocked about how good basketball Brandon Ingram is playing. I was really down. I've been really down on Brandon Ingram his entire career. And then this month, like the middle of February to this month, I'm just like, every game is like 30 points, 28 points, 27 points, 33 points. I'm like, oh my gosh.
I mean, the centerpiece of the whole team should be JaVale McGee. But
he's really...
I'm just kidding.
He had a really solid beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And people were like really high on JaVale McGee.
He didn't play that bad last night, though.
Yeah, but
he actually played pretty well.
Consistency's been a pretty good...
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But he hasn't really held up his end of the bargain all year. Defensively, he's just a mess. But,
yeah. So
that's the Lakers.
That's the Lakers. Playoff mode, you know? Playoff mode.
Did you see Cleveland's new LeBron James they have?
Who's that?
His name is David Nwaba.
Oh.
He's just starting to guard right now. He's just like this jacked dude. He's
the chosen one.
He's pretty okay, I gotta say.
He's the prodigal son. He's
really
He's good. He's pretty good. He's all right.
He had a really cool reverse layup last night where he split, or maybe it was, I think it was two nights ago, where he like split like a center and a power forward and hit like one of like the Jeremy Lin reverse layups. Mm-hmm. It was sick. I was like, dang, that was impressive.
Nwaba.
David Nwaba.
I'm gonna look out while Cleveland's trying their best to tank, guys. They're trying their best. So it's best. I mean, it's funny because Phoenix is already eliminated, but they've been killing it recently because they're like, we're already out. Let's win some games.
They got a bright future still.
Are they? Are they? Nice. That's good.
Yeah. So that's
they have a bright future, but the organization is actually a mess.
Did you see the headline that came out from Bleacher Report this week? How they've had I think it was the president, or I'm probably gonna butcher this, but one of the higher ups came. It would come into the locker room and start like telling the coach to do these specific plays, and he'd go to the players and start like trash talking the coach. And there's something about like pranks from the new guys that were like pushed too far. It's a mess, guys. Like, it's a
Their
mess.
Their fan base alone is not great either.
I mean, the entire state of Arizona.
come on, man. A little harsh on the state of Arizona.
Arizona.
I mean,
is it Josh Jackson?
Yeah.
Did you see that he had a, it was a team specific like meet and greet with fans, and he just didn't show up. Just didn't show up. There was a whole like mall full of people waiting to meet Josh Jackson with a bunch of kids, and he just wasn't there.
What a legend!
He got fined like a nuts amount of money and rescheduled. But I just never even heard of that happening before. I thought it was really
for the kids, man. Come on.
Oh man, your team already sucks enough.
What else are you doing? Like,
that's a Shaq in a full moment right there.
That is.
Love Shaq.
Shaq in a full. Great segment. Great show. Would recommend.
All right. So I read a headline this week. It says sources within Golden State think Kevin Durant has, quote, 1 foot out the door, end quote. I thought that was interesting because, duh. Second of all, could this make an impact in team morale and the way that maybe not the way they play, but maybe focused on team morale come playoff time.
You know what I'm doing right now?
What's that?
I'm reaching for a way to make the playoffs interesting at all. That's what the entire media is doing right now. They're trying to reach for a way to make anything about the playoffs interesting. Now that
like LeBron's the Warriors won't have any chance.
Yeah, LeBron's not going to be in it, and the Warriors are just going to dominate everybody. And everyone's just reaching for a way to try to make it interesting.
Yeah.
You know who is in it, though?
Shut up.
Say it.
The Denver Nuggets.
There he is. Confident who, Chris is back.
On Friday night at 10:30 on ESPN, Denver plays at Golden State.
Listen, I want everyone to know if Denver wins this game, Chris is going full sellout mode on this Nuggets team, and I cannot wait. We've been waiting all season for confident Chris. This is how he used to be with the Denver Broncos, and he's finally back with the Denver Nuggets of 2018-2019, and I'm so excited.
Listen, man. If they get home court advantage, I'll give them a percentage to win. Ooh. Like a percentage, like a one percentage. One. If they can get home court advantage and get the one seed, then maybe. But if they don't have home,
and they could,
because they are incredible at home, and I think the only way they beat the Warriors is if they can make use of that home court advantage and win like at least three games, if not all four, at home.
Well, if they beat Golden State on Friday night, they already had the tiebreaker, and that would only make it even better. And they would be tied in the West for number one seed.
Yeah, because Boston beat them.
Yeah.
Again,
they're not far behind.
Yeah, they're there. But I think in order for them to really have an actual shot, they need to get that home court advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, I don't see any other team beating them. Maybe if Gordon Hayward consistently plays like he did in the game against the Warriors, the Boston can get out of the East, because that was the whole point of the team. Like, that was the whole build of the team, was Gordon Hayward to play like he did. That was the point of the team.
You know what's really interesting?
When he plays like that, they win. But more than so than not, he's not going to, because he's not back yet. But we'll see. What's up, Zach?
Well, I mean, you just said everything I was going to say. So.
No.
But no, that's actually a good point, because, I mean, the Celtics look good against Golden State. They won by 30 plus. And well, but I did put this as a question, but the more I thought about it as the show went on, the more I realized how ridiculous it sounds. But I'm going to say it anyway, because everyone's like, what's the question? So Celtics players like Jaylen Brown have been calling the locker room, quote, toxic. And originally when he said that, it started out as a quote that said losing is toxic. And then he said, the locker room is toxic. We are losing, therefore. And I know he was going to use that exact line when everyone's like, Jaylen, what the heck? You said the locker room's toxic. Now you're in the playoffs. Da-da-da-da. And he's like, well, first of all, I said losing is toxic. We are losing. Da-da-da-da. So anyway, so then they go on to beat the Warriors in Golden State by 30 plus. My question was, is this more of a testament to Golden State's whatever regular season mentality, or is this real breakthrough for Boston? So then two nights later, they play Sacramento, and they won off of a Gordon Hayward, you know, game-winning shot with, like, what, 2 seconds left, something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
But the more I read that, I think we can all agree that I answered my own question in the question that, of course, this is Golden State's who gives a crap. It's the regular season.
Yeah, right. Like, yeah.
Which makes me really sad, because if it was, like, a 10-point win – or a 5-point win, be like, oh man, Boston's back. We won by 30 points in Golden State. Do you realize what you have to do to beat Golden State by 30 points? You have to pay off the Warriors. Golden State didn't care walking into that game. Realized that after we beat Sacramento. You know how sad it was to admit that to myself? It sucked, because after we beat Golden State, I went on Twitter, people, and said the finals are back on. Cue the duck boats. And then I had to tell myself 3 days later, the Warriors don't actually give a crap. It's a regular season.
They're just waiting for the playoffs.
They're waiting for the playoffs.
That's all they care about.
Every single year.
They're waiting to lose.
Man, every game Gordon Hayward plays well, hits a big shot, hits big shots. Not also do they win, but it's a great sign for them in the playoffs and for the future of the team.
So, like, what has to happen for this to stay consistent then? I mean, because, but notice Kyrie wasn't on the court. So, I mean,
he mentioned in his interview after the game with the Warriors that, you know, it was a team effort and we meshed well together and stuff. But really, they haven't done that much this year. But when they do play like that, they're really tough to beat.
But who said they were to Kyrie?
Kyrie said that after the game, which kind of just like, what? Really? Because it just hasn't been the truth all year. But I mean, he's got to
say, he's the leader. He's got to say the right things.
Yeah. When they do play unselfishly and share the ball, though, they're one of the better teams in the NBA.
Awesome. Yeah, but Gordon Hayward also has to hit his shots.
That's and when he's been playing well the last two games. And if he's playing like this, they are even tougher to beat.
Yeah, the thing is, he consistently gets, you know, a bunch of field goal attempts.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, what it's going to come down to, as much as people hate on Kyrie Irving, you're paying the man over $30 million. You know, when you pay a guy that much money, he's the X factor, regardless of anything else. You know what I mean? Like, that's the reality. You pay Gordon Hayward $30 million a year, he's got to put up 25-plus a game and shoot efficiently from the floor, or you're probably not going to have a shot to beat the Bucks or the Sixers or the Warriors. Mm-hmm. And that's reality. If he does do that, then, I mean, the team can beat anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen it before. We've seen it, you know?
Yeah.
So, but the problem is you can't take a guy like that and bench him. He's making $30+ million. You know, it creates this tough thing in the locker room, and yeah, we'll see how he reacts in the playoffs. But
that's fair.
Yeah.
Nice. You guys got any final thoughts? Close out the episode.
Man, I'm sad about the Lakers season. I'm really bummed by it. I don't lie.
Doesn't bother me.
Yeah, I'm sure. Listen, man, I think they're gonna be pretty good next year. I still think people are stupid for saying that the Lakers had no trade assets. And it's like, you're an idiot. Brandon Ingram is a monster, and Kyle Kuzma is a really good shooter. I don't know what people are talking about. I don't know. Sad year. For all fans of the sport. Except for the Denver Nuggets.
For us too.
Except for the Denver Nuggets. I mean, even for Zach, let's get out of here. What do you mean? Celtics have been one of the most disappointing teams of like the year.
If the Lakers miss the playoffs, it's a good season. So.
Oh, that's appreciate that, bud.
If LeBron misses the playoffs, it's a good season.
There you go.
Even better. It's even better season.
It's even better if the Nuggets get the number one seed.
Which they are.
That's true.
Did you guys know that LeBron gets paid $163 a second that he's on the court? I read a contract breakdown. For four seasons, $154 million. One season, $38,500,000. One game, $469,512. One quarter of basketball, $117,000. 1 minute of basketball, $9,781.01. He steps on the court and he just got paid $163.
That includes him sitting on the bench and not even doing anything.
Yeah, I know. It's wild.
That's awesome.
He literally puts one foot down and like his pockets are full, bro.
Yeah.
That's wild. It makes you think, you know?
What a bad decision that was by LeBron to take that much money from the Lakers, real talk.
Why is that?
Like, you think this man needs any more money?
He makes more in endorsements. Like, this isn't even a big part of his money.
Exactly. He stole, like, half of their freaking cap room. Like, dude, what?
Team player, baby.
How are they going to sign? They can't even sign two max free. They don't have enough money to sign two max free agents. Oh, my gosh.
It's perfect. Oh. I love it.
Hey, man, maybe the Heat will be good pretty soon.
Maybe, because LeBron you sound reunion. Pretty depressed right now.
Kelly Olynyk's been putting up like 24 points a game. That's
I
my
love
dog right there.
Kelly, bro. He killed in Boston. He's killing it in Miami. It's great. That's I love my boy. Kelly.
I don't love Dwayne Wade's new cornrow hairdo, whatever that thing is.
All right. Yeah, that's all right.
But that game-winning shot he hit against the Warriors.
That was awesome.
Dude, I thought he was about to be raptured up to basketball heaven. Like, that could have been his moment right there.
He should have just retired right there.
Would have been okay. Like, drop the mic. I'm out.
Yeah.
Peace. Because, I mean, what else is going to happen with Miami?
I'm going to laugh when he Michael Jordans. And it's like he stays retired for a year, and then the year after he's like, I'm pretty bored.
I'm still probably gonna happen.
I'll play basketball. Because he's shown he can still play. Like this year, like he's played pretty efficiently, playing about 30 minutes a night. Like he can still play.
He's honestly one of the best players.
Like, yeah, like Josh Richardson.
He's their go-to guy in the clutch.
Yeah, Dwayne Wade. But yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with free agency. NFL free agency will have started.
And bye. March Madness will be coming soon.
We've got a very cool episode. In two episodes, we're going to do a live bracket picking episode. And that's going to be really cool. And it's going to be like, how long does it take to pick a bracket? Like,
I don't know, but we're going to have fun 10 doing
minutes.
It.
I don't know, but we're going to do it for y'all. And it's going to be fun. And you know what else is fun?
What's up, Zach?
What's up?
You know, we're on a lot of listening platforms.
You're garbage.
You want to know how how many listening platforms we're on? Guess.
What, is it like 8 or 9?
You can go one higher, buddy. We are 10? On 10 listening platforms. Matt, you want to guess the first one?
Name them. Let's do it.
Radio Public or CastBox or something. I don't know. We
Google
are on
podcasts.
Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pressing Through, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, and Stitcher. Bye, guys.
Did a
bye, guys.
I hate you.